Dear Heavenly Father, the scriptures are here for us to learn more about how you want us to live our lives, how you want us to just absorb the great creation you surround us with. And we are so thankful that we have this opportunity to read the scripture, to learn more about the scripture. And we ask you to be with Dana as he elaborates on how this scripture has meaning to us in our lives. We ask your spirit to guide and direct his words so they will have impact from your love and care and mercy in our lives. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first scripture is Genesis 32, verses 9 through 12. Then Jacob prayed, O God, my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, Lord, you who said to me, go back to your country and to your relatives, and I will make you prosper. I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you have shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan, but now I have become two camps. Save me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I am afraid he will come and attack me, and also the mothers with their children. But you have said, I will surely make you prosper, and I will make your descendants like the sands of the sea, which cannot be counted. Next we go to verse 22. That night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God's face to face, and yet my life was spared. The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. And our third reading is from Romans chapter 11, verses 17 to 24. Going along with our children's sermon. If some of the branches had been broken off and you thought of wild olive shoot, have you been grafted in among the others and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root? Do not consider yourself to be superior to those other branches. If you do consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that the eye could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but tremble. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And if you do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature were grafted in to a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? The word of the Lord.
Quick word of explanation before we start. That beautiful and interesting passage in Romans deserves a lot of sermons. It's there this morning just to simply make the case for you today that when the Bible talks about Israel, it's talking about you, the people of faith. You've been grafted into Israel. And so all the promises and dealings of God with Israel are related to you. And the sermon today will be about the passages in Genesis, Genesis chapter 32. But I got to start by telling you about a dream that a friend of my friend had. So my buddy Aaron, who's been here a couple times, my lifelong friend, pastor in Oregon, when I visited him in his Bible college in Eugene, he told me about this amazing dream his friend had had that everybody was talking about. It's a very vivid dream. I don't know if you've ever had one like that. Everything seems kind of bright and colorful and intense. And this man dreamt that he was in heaven. He was so excited. He's like, oh, I'm in heaven. And he was seeing all the people that were in the Bible. Finally, I can ask these questions. And, you know, he goes to Daniel, what was it like in the lion's den? And he goes to Jonah, what was it like in the whale? And to Peter, what was it like walking on the water? And none of them would answer his questions. They were just looking at him in amazement. And people started to gather around, like a crowd gathered around him, looking at him. And they were all asking, what was it like? What was it like? And he's thinking, you know, what do you mean? I'm not in the Bible. And they asked him, what was it like to live in the last days? Man, that was 27 years ago. We're more last than we were then. That's not at all what the sermon's about. What the sermon's about is about when you have questions for God, but instead God asks you a question. This wrestling of questions. And today we're going to hear about God asking a very important question to Jacob. Jacob, whose name becomes Israel. Now, over halfway across the world, there's a little nation called Israel. It's not called Abraham. It's not called Isaac. It's called Israel. Interesting. And we are the people of faith, God's covenant people, who've been grafted into this nation that's described in the Bible that has this name of this nation that's in the world today, Israel. How did this get started? What does it mean to us? Now, this is the first of 31 sermons in the book of Genesis. Sorry if you were hoping for Philippians, because it's going to be a while. This will keep us going until we're ready to talk about the Lord coming back in Advent. So we're starting somewhere in the middle of the story. We're going to go back and talk about Abraham and work our way through with pericopes, with certain verses. We're not going to go verse by verse. It's just too much. But we're starting with how Israel got its name. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but for some reason, every time you open the Bible, it presents itself in three easy points that are easy to remember. It's kind of strange, right? So here are the three easy points. Wrestling, confessing, and blessing. And if Kevin Woods were here, that's just how he would say it. Wrestling, confessing, and blessing. Jacob wrestles with somebody. He confesses something, and then a certain blessing is given to him. Now, I went out for wrestling once. You already knew I was an athlete because I fish, right? One of my favorite cartoons is these two old-timers sitting in lawn chairs drinking beer with their fishing poles and a rod, you know, holder, just waiting for a bite. And one of them turns to the other and says, hey, if fishing is a sport, we're athletes. And that's me. I'm an athlete. So I actually did do some sports in high school. Cross country and track, you couldn't be cut from, right? It doesn't matter. If you're willing to do it, you're going to get the little letter for your Letterman's jacket, which I bought a size too big and never grew into. But I went out for track, and so when I was a freshman, I took a weightlifting class, and I was pretty excited because I could bench press more than I weighed, and I thought, well, that's what wrestling is. You're supposed to not weigh very much, which was me, and then you're supposed to be strong for how much you weigh. I thought, well, maybe I could do this. So it was the worst 2 hours of my life. I went in there, and this kid that I don't know how he weighed so little, you know, but he pretzeled me over and over again, just time after time. But it shouldn't be this hard to get 100 pounds off of me, but I was just flat on my back for 2 hours until it was over, and then I decided I was going to play guitar instead. Wrestling is hard. And it was hard for Jacob. Now, the event that we're hearing about kind of plays out like a dream sequence. It's strange. First of all, it's not very realistic, right? Like when you have dreams, they're not realistic, and yet they're so real to you. What would be realistic is if Jacob were getting where he was going to sleep for the night, and somebody came in the dark of night and started to wrestle with him, and Jacob freaked out and tried to kill him, or got, you know, he figures somebody's there to kill him. But he's wrestling all night, and somehow he gets the idea that it's this person has come to bless him. What's that about? Why is he thinking that? Now, I don't know if you've ever dealt with a sleepless night. Ever dealt with a sleepless night? Has it felt like wrestling to you? One of the psalms that I've memorized to deal with my sleepless nights in my hard times is Psalm 13. And it's all a lot of questions. Questions are a theme in this wrestling. I think it's fair to compare wrestling with God to questioning God or having questions for God. Psalm 13 says, "How long, O Lord?" It starts with a question. "How long, O Lord? Will you forget me forever?" Another question. "How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" It's all questions and it's wrestling. I think it's fair to think about those times when we are wondering, needing an answer from God, and we can't seem to let it rest, wrestling with the Lord. Now, I've talked about wrestling with the Lord, but the scripture says it was a man that came to Jacob and wrestled him. And the prophet Hosea says it was an angel who wrestled with Jacob. And Jacob himself says it was God. I've seen the face of God and lived. Now before I go any further with that, I have to tell you about what happened in a Sunday school class. Very important thing. So Miss Penelope was teaching her pupils, and the one bright child was eagerly listening, and she said, "Class, this is very important. What is covered with hair and runs up and down trees and stuffs nuts into its cheeks and has a big bushy tail?" You know, that kid that was paying attention just shot her hand right up, said, "Miss Penelope, I know the answer is Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me." I know the answer is Jesus. Well, we've got to mix those two concepts together here with this wrestling match, because who is a messenger? An angel's a messenger. Who is a messenger that comes from heaven with a message for us? Who is a man who is weak enough to be nailed to a cross? And who is God? I know it sounds like an angel or a person, but I know the answer is Jesus. It's Jesus. We're wrestling with the Lord. Jesus, God, comes to us to wrestle with us. God comes to the people whose name is the name of the people of God, representing you and me and representing everybody who comes to God by faith. In Romans it says, by faith you're grafted in, and by unbelief you can be taken out, you know. You're in or out by faith. And the wrestling is something that Jesus engages. And Jesus cheats too. Like, what kind of God creates everything and wrestles a man all night long and makes himself so weak somehow for the benefit of the man that he has to cheat? And even then he still says, "Let go of me," after he touches the hip, you know, gives him this injury and still says, "Let go of me, the day is breaking." Something in the mercy of God makes God appear to us with such weakness for our sake. Now, one more theme before I go from wrestling to confessing. And that is the nighttime theme. The nighttime theme. Now, as you saw on the screen and heard, Jacob is afraid his brother's going to kill him. Jacob's brother hasn't just come alone. He's come with an army that has weapons. And it's a little intimidating because Jacob has stolen from his brother. Jacob was wrestling with God in the dark at the very beginning, in the womb. Drove their mother crazy. She had to ask, what's going on? And it was said that, you know, there's a wrestling match inside. And when they were born, Jacob was holding on to the heel of his brother. And so he was called Jacob. Heel grabber, deceiver, trickster. It's kind of a bad name. Kind of a bad name. And so that wrestling match happened in the dark. And then Jacob lives out his bad name when his brother is weak because he's hungry. By the way, if you ever want to win an argument with a man or, you know, get him to say something that he'll regret, just go after him when he's hungry. All right, I'm glad you're not taking too much out of that. But that's what he did. He got him to trade a big, expensive inheritance for a cheap little bowl of soup, lentil soup of all things. It wasn't even chicken noodle, or it was lentil soup. And then, that's not enough. He cheats him out of a blessing as well, pretends to be his brother. The father has the power to bless Isaac, and he goes to Isaac the father and says, oh, I'm the older brother, so I should get the blessing. My name is Esau. Now, that's why he's afraid. When Esau gets tired of being cheated, it comes back, the rumor comes back to Jacob, your brother's going to kill you. And if you keep reading in Genesis, you'll know that those kind of threats aren't really empty. It was a Wild West kind of world, and a lot of crazy things happened. And so his mom, who he's close to, says, it's time for you to run for your life, son. And as he's running, there's this symbolic thing that's happening. The sun sets. The Bible makes a note of it. Sometimes these details are important. And this wrestling match happens in the dark, and the wrestler says, you gotta let go of me because the sun's about to come up. And as the story ends, the sun's coming up. We're ending a dark season with this wrestling match. Ending a dark season. Now, to go from wrestling to confessing, this event happens, where Jacob says, instead of, you know, why did you come in the middle of the night and try to kill me? Jacob says, I won't let you go unless you bless me. Unless you bless me. And God, the wrestler, responds by asking a question. Okay, make a mental note. In recent weeks, we've talked about God asking people questions and there being important consequences to the questions. God asks Adam, where are you? God doesn't need to, you know, ask him that. It's a test for Adam, and Adam passes the buck. You know, I'm hiding because I found out I was naked, but it was really this woman's fault that you gave me, so it's your fault and her fault. I'm going to blame shift. God asks Cain, where's your brother? Cain's got a different strategy. I'm going to be hostile. I'm going to be apathetic. I'm going to be ignorant. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? A different strategy. Either way, I don't want to take the blame, and in both instances, it's followed by a curse. Adam gets a curse. Cain gets a curse. Now we have a change. God asks Jacob, what is your name? And he says, my name is Jacob. My name is heel grabber. My name is deceiver. My name is trickster. That's who I am, and it's what I did. Now confessing sin leads to blessing. You don't get blessing by shifting the blame. You don't get blessing by being hostile and pretending you don't know what's wrong. You get blessing by confessing. Speaking the same as. It's a weird blessing, though, for a couple of reasons. One, he's already blessed. He says, I came this direction with only a staff, and now I've got two staffs. The second staff is, thank you for calling Jacob Incorporated, how may I direct your call? Like staff in a directory. He's got two camps of people. He started with just a walking stick, and now he's become a great company with livestock and everything. He got a blessing. He stole it fair and square. You know, he stole the blessing and it worked. He's obviously blessed. Why does he need a blessing? Why is he crying out for one? And what kind of blessing is a new name anyway? It's a sticky note that says, "Hello, my name is Israel." I mean, what good is that? Well, I would point out that in our day and age, everybody seems to be clamoring for a certain identity status. Identity seems pretty important to us now. And that's what God gives him, a new identity. Essentially, he's becoming a new person. I would say that this is a foreshadowing of what we have in Christ. In Christ, God comes to us in the flesh, weak and yet wrestling with us, calling us out in our sin, telling us to repent. And if we confess and believe, then we can have the blessing of being a new creation, a new identity, a new creature in Christ. And then we can have the same problems we had the day before. Because that's what Israel has. He's the same guy who's cheated the same brother, who's coming with the same army, with all the sharp same swords. But now he's facing the same problems as a different person. And I can't quite tell you how it works out, but I've heard many, many times from many, many followers of Christ that when Christ entered their heart and changed them and turned their heart of stone into a heart of flesh, then they face the same problems, same fears, same condemnation, same accusation that they had, but somehow they made it through differently. And that's what happens in the story that comes beyond what we've read today. So it's a blessing that can't really be defined outside of yourself. It's something that defines you inside of yourself. It's the blessing of being a new creation. That's the blessing that we really need. We don't need a lot of money. We don't need good fortune, which isn't a Bible word, but it's the closest thing I've got. We need the blessing of a new identity, a new relationship with God, and that's what Jesus gives us. So, we are people, grafted into Israel, we are people who have been met by Jesus for a persistent process that breaks down the effects of sin. The word wrestle means to persist or to endure. And so, as Christians, we persist in the faith. We saw this in the passage in Romans. You have to keep going in your belief. Now, as a Reformed style Christian, as with my view of the Bible, I think that we persevere because God gives us the help that we need to persevere, not because we're so jolly good. But God gives us the help that we need. And God initiated this wrestling match. It's His grace that makes it happen. And my life changed not because I wrestled so well, but because I surrendered. This here, I just want to bring this in front of you for a moment. This is an irony. This is a paradox. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice to God, not as a wiggling, whining mess. Right? We're wrestling with God, we're struggling, and yet the ideal is that we would be placed before God still and surrendered. I am yours. I'm a living sacrifice. My body is a living sacrifice. It's yours. At the same time, the scripture says in Philippians 3, I haven't laid hold of it yet, but I press on toward the goal. There's this constant metaphor of athleticism and persevering. That 2-hour wrestling that I did in high school, that was the last day of wrestling in my life, you know. We have a faith that Jesus calls us into perseverance. There is no lukewarmness in Christ. There is no armchair fisherman beer drinking style living in Christ. It's active, it's athletic. And yet, if we begin to think that we are able to persevere without God's grace, we're mistaken. And yet, the scripture calls us forward. Head on toward the goal. Persevere. Wrestle. Jesus in His grace wrestles us. It's all to turn around the effects of sin. Now, Jacob's problem started in the womb, and we have problems that are deep within, and Jesus will meet us where the tendencies are, where our character flaws are, and wrestle with us. This is soul restoration, the theme for 2023, restoring your soul. Jesus will meet you in the places in you that are crooked, and He'll wrestle with you. And so, in that wrestling process, we have a lifelong process of sanctification. And that's what soul restoration and inner healing is all about. And I think I've preached long enough, so I'm going to give you the challenge for this week. All right? Here's the challenge. Very tangible, very easy. Get a piece of paper and a pen and write down every question you have for God. It's fun. We think when we get to heaven, we're going to ask God all these questions. Probably he's just going to ask us one question and that'll be it. But write down all your questions for God. And then write down God's questions for you. And you may think, well, who am I to dare to do that? No. Don't run away. Don't run away. The Holy Spirit will convict you and help you. And write down God's questions for you. They may be very sweet and tender. They may be very convicting, but courageously do that. That's my challenge. And my friends, while this is all happening, just what you can take away today is that God in His mercy and His grace will not leave you in lukewarmness, will not leave you in neutrality, but will wrestle with you so that all through your life you work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and His grace is made perfect in you. May He bless you with a sweet surrender and a wonderful wrestling match. Amen.